So we thank God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is by mercy, it is his grace, it is power. And you know, when you think about it, it's the end of November, you know. And it's been a year. The year is coming to an end. One more month and then 2025 is gone. And unless we look back and see all the, you know, all the uncertainties that were there in the year, all the challenges, all the difficulties, and to see that God has seen us through, we know that it's not our effort, we know it's not our ability, it has been the hand of God. So it's always good to give thanks to God. And I think of just, you know, how the, I think it's in the US where they do Thanksgiving every November, end of November. And it's really a practice as believers just to look back and see what God has done and to say thank you. And yet also, you know, on the other side, there are also those who look and see that so much is yet to be done, so much has not been done. You know, the year is coming to an end. God, I was expecting you to do this by this time. And at times it's possible to be, you know, discouraged and disappointed. But the reality is, who do we look to? I mean, do we have any other option apart from God? No. We only have God. We only have God. We don't have an option of our own effort. We don't have an option of going to the world, because we know once you're on the other side, the enemy will destroy you. In fact, he has just been waiting for that chance for you to lose your place with God, and so that he can attack. You know, once you've dropped your armor of God, then, you know, the enemy was just waiting. But if we keep our hearts checked, our hearts in God, our hearts trusting, you know, like those Hebrew boys, whether our God saves us or he doesn't save us, we will not bow. We must have that attitude, that resilience, that faith that is stubborn in the right way, that says that, you know what, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, you know, that he is able to keep that which I've committed until the day of Christ. And even as we, you know, as we carry on with this study, we see how Paul also, now we're in Philippians chapter 3, and we see how Paul is very keen to push himself forward, you know, to look ahead and to say that he's still looking unto the Lord. And you can see Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." And I keep saying, one, this is one of the letters that he writes with so much joy. He keeps telling them, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. You'll find it over 7 times, you'll find rejoice in the Lord. You know, rejoice. It's not, I keep telling you, rejoice. Yes, this is a man who is in a prison cell. This is a man who is in Rome prison writing these letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you know. But he's just telling them, rejoice. And he's telling them that I'm not tired. And we must never be tired of doing the things of God. He's saying that, you know, for me, even if I'm writing to you again, it is not a tedious job, but rather it is for your safety. You can think of how Jesus speaks to Peter, and he tells him, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. That means there are things that God knows that, and even to Jesus, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Are you in the place of your assignment? Are you doing what God called you to do? Yes, he's given you the job. Are you in that place of obedience? Are you fulfilling your ministry? Because to God, your obedience is more important than even, you know, the things that we give him. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. At times, many people just go like, no, I'll give an offering, I'll send this. But you see, your obedience comes before that. And that's why he's telling them that, you see, for me, I have a call. My call to you is to teach you, is to father you, is to encourage you. And so he says, it is for your safety that I still write this. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. So he's now warning them against, you know, there are those that the Jews who were insisting on circumcision, you know, insisting on the law, trying to tell the believers that they can only be saved if they are circumcised, that's why he's calling it the mutilation. So he's telling them, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Then he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. So, you know, there are those who are trying to pull them away from Christ, to pull them away from their salvation by telling them that they can only be truly saved by being circumcised. Now he tells them, now, if it is about circumcision, we are the ones who are of the circumcision, because circumcision meant covenant. It was a mark of covenant that was given to Abraham and his descendants. It was an outward mark, you know, of that covenant, everlasting covenant. But you see, there is a greater covenant, which is a new covenant, which is a covenant that is done by the Spirit, you know, by the Spirit. So he says that we are the circumcision. We are the ones who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. That means that if it is about any human effort, we cannot stand on that. It is not how much we prayed. It is not how much we fasted. It's not how much of the word we know. It's not about how much we're circumcised or how much we are Jews, but rather our confidence is in Christ. We must always point back ourselves to the Christ, point back ourselves to the finished works of Christ on the cross. When he said it is finished, you know, he said it is finished on the cross, and that meant that the work of redemption is done. You know, but he also told his disciples that it is, when he was praying to God, he said, Father, it is finished. The ones you have given them to me, I have revealed myself, I have revealed them to you. You know, I have completed the work of making manifest the Christ, revealing the Christ to them. So there is that aspect of where he knows he has finished the work that he has been given to his disciples. And then now he says, now restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the foundations of the earth were laid. We know there was a glory that Christ had. But now you're telling us, have no confidence in the flesh. This is a warning against those who love to boast, you know, about their accomplishments, about what they've done. But you see, when you know that your confidence is in the Spirit, when you know it is what God has done, it is what Christ has done, then you will not fight over who has more followers, who has more numbers, who has done this and this. It's not our physical aspect, but it is something that Christ has done. Verse 4 says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. And this is, you know, there's a point where Paul says, allow me to be foolish, because he was arguing with people who want to throw in things about confidence in the flesh. So he says, okay, allow me to speak as a fool, because they also speak as a fool. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's take a pause there and see what Paul is saying and what the scriptures are telling us. He's like, you see, let no one have any confidence in the flesh. And if you want us to compare notes, you know, if you want us to boast about confidence in the flesh with those who claim to be so much Jews and in the law, I was better than them even in the law. If it is about that, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I am circumcised on the eighth day. You know, I am a tribe of Benjamin. I was concerning the law. I was a Pharisee. That means I was even better than the Jews in understanding of the law. And if it's concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. So if it was about the law of Moses, Paul is saying that he ticked all those boxes better than these people who are trying to tell the Christians that they need to be circumcised to be fully born again. But now he says, if I look at all those things, I count them but loss for Christ. You know, our Christianity must ask ourselves, what is it that we have let go for Christ? If someone was to ask you, yes, Christ sacrificed his life for you, but on your end, what have you lost for Christ? When you've truly come to Christ, there are things that you will lose. There are certain friendships that you will lose. There are certain relationships that you will let go. There are certain, you know, patterns and things that you use to get money in an easy way or in a way that is not according to God that you will have to let go. There are things that will be counted loss. Even if it is your, let's say, your achievements, whether you're a PhD or a doctor or, you know, or you're a professional, you're the highest level, you're a manager, there are things that lose value when you look at eternity. Yes, you have the biggest job, but after retirement, you won't have it. There are things that end on the earth, yet these are the things that men glory over. You can think of people with cars, you know, or those who have very nice cars and will always be driving around with them. Even cars have their lifespan. After some time, they become scrap metal. You can think of these greatest cars that were theirs in the 70s, in the 80s. They are rotted in yards, you know, in backyards of people. And no one can even look back at them and wonder, even if it is a song. You know, there are people who say, oh yeah, I have the hottest song. But if you look back in a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, others come and those are also forgotten. That is to tell you that there is anything that we base on ourselves, on our human achievement, on our own efforts, when it is weighed before eternity, it falls apart. But you see, anything that we do for Christ, and that's why he says, all these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. There is a higher place that we must be called towards to. The greatest aspect of life, our greatest goal in life must be to gain Christ. And to count all things loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That means there's an excellence. And if you want to be excellent before God, God is saying, know him. Know him in a deeper way. You see, this knowledge is that progressive knowledge that you come to know him by experience. That progressive knowledge that you come to know God by intimacy. You see, when you're intimate with God, you won't need someone to tell you that come and attend service. You won't need someone to tell you come attend prayers. Why? Because there is a certain hunger within you that God places. That when you are out of the secret place, you know you are away from him. You know there's an emptiness that you feel. And you know that without you coming and connecting again to the word of God, then you run dry, you run empty. And before you know it, you're back in the world or you're back struggling with things that you should not be struggling with, things that you already overcame in the past. But then when we slacken, when we fold our hands, when we go back, then we go back to that place where we find that we are sliding down in our own victory. Paul is saying, all these things I have counted but loss. I count them as rubbish. But for the excellence, there are things that are excellent. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. We will lose many things for the sake of Christ. We will lose jobs, we will lose friends, we will lose money, we will lose relationships, we will lose opportunities. Because there are things that will come our way to distract us from our purpose. But if God has positioned you somewhere and he wants you to do something, stay there. Why, you're there not for yourself, but for the sake of Christ. Don't be in a hurry to run after your own way. Wait and hear from God. There are men, the Bible has told us that many who are eager to get rich, they have run away, they have wandered away from the faith, and they have pierced their souls with many griefs. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. There is a righteousness that is apart from the law. This is the righteousness that is through faith in Christ, which is from God by faith. We must always be reminded that our righteousness does not come from us. It comes from what Christ has done. Our holiness, our righteousness is of God. Let us never beat our chest and say, oh, see how holy I am. It's still, we must stand on what Christ has done. Not that we must live in sin. No, we are not called to live in sin. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Says, God forbid. There's already an answer to that. We are not called to live in sin. But also, as we walk in righteousness, we know it is not from us. It is a gift from God. It is by faith in Christ. Then we can settle. We can be at peace. We can be comforted knowing that God is our Father. He is the one that is going to present us to himself as holy and blameless in his sight. Verse 10 tells us that I may know him. And this he keeps saying of the knowledge. I want to know him. I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to be intimate with him. I want to know that power of the resurrection, that power that raised him from the dead, that power that is available today, that power that makes a difference, that brings dead things to life, that brings dead marriages to life, that brings dead relationships to life, that brings hopeless things to life, that brings dead organs to life. There is a power of resurrection that is able to pick broken legs, able to pick broken organs, organs that are not functioning. There is a power of a resurrection. That's why he says that I may know him. When you know who God is and you see his majesty, his magnitude, then you will realize that what you're facing is just nothing. It's just a tip. It's just like a drop of water in an ocean. When you focus on your problem, then your problem grows big. But when you focus on God, then God is magnified. God so grows so big in our eyes that our problems feel like nothing. They become as light as a feather. And when your faith and when your eyes see things the way God sees them, then you shall walk in perpetual victory. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, we must always remember that Christ suffered for us, suffered in our place. And this is where we continually are called to always do this in remembrance of me. You know, when you partake of the communion, you remember the sufferings of our Lord. That indeed someone paid a price for this. Someone paid a price for our righteousness. And God calls us that if we join in the fellowship of his sufferings, then we are being conformed to his death, and if by any means attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is very keen to tell us that, you see, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfect. This is verse 12. But I press on that I may lay hold that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He says, therefore, let us, as many that are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, by the degree to which that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. There is a pressing. There is a press on. I press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That means you will persevere. You will stay there. You will press on. Yes, you have failed yesterday. Yes, you have failed in the night. But you can dust yourself up. You can wash your face. You can put on a brave new face and press on. Press on until you fulfill that which God sent you to do. You are sent on purpose. You have an assignment. And God will help you fulfill it. As long as you look unto Him for strength, as long as you know it is not your effort, as long as you trust Him, as long as you don't depend on what you have achieved or how much you have gone, but you count all things rubbish, dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I pray that God will give us grace in this and insight into more of this. You're welcome, my sisters. God leads you.
Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the study this morning. I was reminded of not fulfilling the flesh desires by sacrificing the self, so that we can live in righteousness and be able to fulfill the purpose why we are on earth. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen, amen, yes. Yeah, things we have to let go in the flesh, and that at times it means to put the flesh to death, you know, have no confidence in the flesh, but look unto the Spirit, draw on strength from the Spirit, and look unto Him, and indeed press on. I think that's the way. Let us press on. Let us press on. And God will see us through. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We honor You. We give You glory. We thank You for Your encouragement today, that You're calling us to look forward, to go on ahead, to not look behind, not be discouraged, to not be distracted by those around us, by the things around us, but to press on and to look unto the things that You've called us to do, the thing, the mark of the high calling, which is You in Christ Jesus, that our excellency, that we shall know You, the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom Paul says he has suffered the loss of all things. He has lost everything that he held dear. And I thank You that even as we go through this journey of life, there are things that we look back, we know it has been Your hand, it has been Your protection. I pray that we shall not fall by the wayside. We shall not be discouraged. We shall be found in the house of God. We shall be found in the place of prayer, the place of commitment, in the place of looking and depending on You. You are a faithful Father. You are a faithful God. You are a King that we can depend on, we can trust on, and we can look unto, O God, Jesus. We honor You, we exalt You, and we magnify You. May Your name be praised and be exalted. We thank You for healings. Thank You for miracles. Thank You for breakthroughs. Thank You for job opportunities, O God. For those that have come to the end of the road, the Lord, You are able to bring remembrance. You are able to make a way, O God. We honor, we exalt You, and we lift up Your holy name. May Your name be glorified and be exalted. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom and blessed, blessed day.